Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they should not enter my rest. Now, Dave, that's something else, isn't it, that scripture? That they saw the works, but they didn't know the ways.
That's amazing. It's like, you know, they saw the manna coming down from heaven for 40 years.
Yeah.
And somewhere else it tells us that, you know, their shoes didn't wear out.
Oh, yeah.
The clothes didn't wear out.
Yeah.
They defeated, you know, enemies much bigger than themselves.
Wow.
God provided water in the wilderness, the pillar of cloud by night. And they saw all that stuff. And, you know, if you were naive, you would think that, well, having seen all that stuff, it would persuade them that God was really for them.
Yeah, you would, if you saw a fraction of it, you know.
Yeah, but they never made that transition, you know, that God was really coming through for them.
But how can they Dave? If you were there, and imagine you had the Egyptian army coming to pull you back into slavery, you know, hopelessly outnumbered, a huge ocean in front of you, and you know, you're really stuck, you know, and then, you know, God does this miracle, parts the waters, and you go through, and the enemy chases you, and the waters close and drown them out. You know, my goodness, how could you not fall on your face before the living God?
Well, isn't it a trust issue? And you know, and it actually says it there, because it says a little bit further down in Hebrews chapter 3, it says they could not enter in because of unbelief. But you know the way the word faith, trust, believe are all the same Greek word,
right?
So they could not enter in because they didn't trust God.
Yeah.
And even though, so they saw his works every time. They just kept seeing his works, but it never brought them to a place where they could trust him.
Well, what is it, Dave, that makes someone trust? You know, I mean, because, well, it's a huge thing. Now, let's say this goes through all areas of life. Like, I work in the business world, I'm an architect, and you know, I've got to deal with builders, I've got to deal with clients, I've got to deal with all sorts of people. You know, trust is such an important currency to have in the whole process. You know,
yeah,
that you can work with people that you trust and things go smooth and people do what they promise they'll do and everything. But where do you get trust? Where does it come from?
Well, I think it comes in two ways. Number one, it's you have a heart that's open to trust. In other words, you're not a cynic. You know?
Right, yeah.
you don't just kind of assume that everybody's out to get you.
It wouldn't last long in my business if you're a cynic. Although there are a few cynical architects, unfortunately, yes. But
okay, so that's the first thing. You have to have a heart that's open to trust.
Yeah, okay.
And then the second thing is, you have to have some idea about the person that is, you know, the person that you're going to trust.
Yeah, well, that's wild because, you know,
you have to get to know them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, to me, this is why a relationship with God is the most fundamental thing about our Christianity.
Yeah.
It's our relationship with God. That's where we get to know what he's like. In other words, we get to know his ways.
Yeah. You know the way, Dave, yeah, this is wild because I realize that just, again, I'm not, you know, in parallel to what you're saying, in the kind of business world, when you meet someone or you're introduced to someone and you shake the hand, you say hello, etc., very quickly people can begin to trust each other. Once they've eyeballed each other and, you know, met them and there's some connection there, you know, this is what I found, that people are much more willing to employ you or use you, or, you know, in a good way, after they've met you, instead of some stranger in a brochure or in a name out there, you know, they don't know you and they're kind of a bit cagey. But I suppose people, even though outwardly they can be nice and all the rest, you know, we know the heart of man is rotten, you know. So people, when they're tested, may prove to be untrustworthy, okay? But I suppose we have the security with God that he's not that way. So him being the object of our trust is an absolute rock to build upon. Not something that is going to let you down someday in a tragic way, or someone who let you down, but someone who's a firm and solid rock.
You know, because he's already given everything.
He's given everything. He's given his own son, his most precious, for you and for me. You know, and out of that, we know that how much is he for us. I mean, just supremely, he's for us.
But sometimes I think we don't actually realize how important this is in our Christian life.
What is this
thing about knowing God's ways through our relationship with him.
Yeah.
You know, there were some guys came to Jesus and said, "What must we do to work the works of God?"
Yeah.
And you know,
he said,
Christians, we as Christians, we kind of think, you know, what should we be doing as Christians?
Yeah.
And we think about, well, you know, we should be starting a ministry, or
we should be praying, we should be evangelizing, giving,
all these things. These are the works of God. These are the things we should be doing. But that wasn't the answer that Jesus gave these guys.
Yeah.
He said, this is the work of God, to believe on him whom he sent.
Wow.
But why is that so important in terms of our Christian life? Well, because it's trusting him whom he sent. Because if we don't trust him, we can't do anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't fundamentally trust him, what are we doing it for?
Yeah. Well, the tragedy is some do it, and maybe we're all guilty about this in different stages of our lives. We do it because we get something. You know, we do it for the reward. Now, I mean, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to love Jesus, serve Jesus, you do get the most supreme reward. You get to heaven, eh? Instead of that horrible place called hell. But we don't serve God to get to heaven. You know, we serve God for who he is, because we love him.
Yes.
And he still gives us heaven. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, we get blessed as well in our Christian walk in different ways. You know, God provides and looks after us and keeps us healthy and does a whole load of things that we can realize when we're believers. But that's not the reason we serve him. You know, I just think in the heart of man, what is the deepest motivation? Because if our motivation is to serve God because he's blessing me, then we go through the trials like Job or someone, and we'll have a different outcome to Job had. You know, we will end up cursing God because he's not blessing us anymore. But the truth is, we can establish things in our lives by the grace of God that'll carry us through the good days and the bad days. Because we will have bad days, you know, but beyond the bad days is better days. that's great.
In
fact, that can motivate us, Dave. Jesus, it says in Hebrews, it says it was for the joy set before him he endured the cross, so he could prophetically see through the cross, see beyond the cross. The cross is the most horrible thing for Jesus. He separated from the Father, you know, went through physical pain, went through emotional pain, went through every pain, you know, but he was looking beyond, and it says he could endure for the joy set before him. That's wild, isn't it, Dave?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you can speculate, well, what joy is that about? Is that the joy of Jesus and the bride? Or is that joy of Jesus back with the Father? You know, well, I think it's probably both. You know?
I think so.
And more. You know.
Because we only get to see a little bit, whatever appears in the Word and the Holy Spirit makes alive to our heart. There's an awful lot more going on, I'm sure, in heaven than that bit.
But I think God knows us in our weakness, and very often we do need that promise of something ahead to encourage us and motivate us and keep us going forwards. A classic example is this year I was working very hard in the office and the days were long and, I was getting kind of tired. I'd been months without a holiday and, circumstances were looking like we mightn't get a holiday of any description. But then we were able to book something, right? Get a week away somewhere. And I have to say, the moment after it was booked, there was a spring in my step. Do you know what I mean? And it wasn't like I didn't have to work just as hard. I did. But you know what? I was thinking ahead of that break I was going to have. And it gave me the strength to kind of go forwards. But if you'd told me there's absolutely no break in sight, for a long, long time, I probably would have burnt up and burnt out a bit, I'm being honest with you. I think the joy before us is an important principle, particularly when you got to go down that valley. You can look beyond and see the mountain top, the one that's up the other side of the valley. Hallelujah.
And what is set before us is to be with Him forever.
Wow. I mean, it's beyond description, it really is. So cool, isn't it?
It's amazing.
And the words, and Jesus said this, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. I mean, God has given us all of this out of His abundance.
Yeah.
Wow.
But just to get back to Hebrews there.
Yep.
In that thing about they could not enter into His rest because of unbelief. It was into His rest is what is what the issue was.
Into His rest,
Well, I put that down to something where, he says,
we hang up our boots?
no, but it does say in Philippians, isn't it, where it says, have no anxiety about anything.
Yeah.
About anything. Have no anxiety. How about being in that place where we actually don't have anxiety about anything?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, I didn't.
Now, we can still be busy. We can still be putting effort out there. But not with that sense of anxiety about, is it enough? Is this good enough?
Yeah.
Is this going to please God?
Or am I approved? See, yeah.
Am I approved? If we are looking to the things that we do to please God, then we're never going to be satisfied in ourselves, because we'll always have that anxiety in ourselves, because it's not about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's about what He's already done for us and what He puts before us. Because the work is finished. He is, He's defeated everything. He's defeated sin. He's defeated death. Yeah. And the rest is that in our lives and in our Christian walk, that we enter in to that victory, and that we enter in to His provision, and that we enter into the communion with the Holy Spirit that makes the reality of Jesus something that exists in our lives.
This is so good, Dave. And it brings us to the heart of, I suppose, a Pilgrim Talk, and our original motivation in doing the podcasts is, how do we walk as Christians in 21st century Ireland? There's something about understanding that every day in Jesus is an adventure, right? And you don't know about tomorrow, which way the wind's going to blow and who you're going to encounter and what's going to happen. And, so you can't prescribe the next day, right? But if you walk in that freedom with Christ, if you're in that place of rest, if you are secure knowing that you're approved by God because of what Jesus did, and you're not trying to prove yourself to man or God, okay? You know, when you're walking in all those sort of freedoms, well, I tell you one thing, life can truly be an adventure, you know.
And you can be free to hear the very thing that God is saying.
Well, you know, that's so important because there's so much of the burden and the heart of God. It's still for the lost. It's still for the broken world and the people who are separated and, you know, the people God wants to bring into his family and into relationship. You know, and God has a role for you and me in different ways in that whole war plan, okay? And then we can quietly hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It can be a small thing or it can be a big thing or whatever it is, you know, I think we do that best from a place of rest. I think you have to, I'm going to tell you, Dave, you have to agree with me on that one. You know, it's from a place of rest. That, you know, so many Christians say, how do I hear God? You know, and so I know we're a sheep, we hear his voice. And, you know I got born again, so I must have heard it once at least. But, but you know, we desire to hear his voice clearer and more regularly as we walk with him daily. And surely being at rest is a critical part of that, or essential part of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, look, wonderful. The clock is beating us again, Dave. And so we're going to have to sign off. But I will say to all the listeners, thanks very much for listening and tuning in to Pilgrim Talk. So it's Anthony saying goodbye.
And David saying goodbye.
And God bless you all.
God bless. Bye-bye.